I'm Liz Carter, a science communicator from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place where community members, friends, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Part.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student, my science buddy.
My teacher. My homie.
I'm his daughter.
This mini-series is an interview-style show that explores the life and career thus far of Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy's climate specialist, Rick Toman. During these four episodes, we will examine how Rick found his way to Alaska, how his career has grown and changed over the last 40 years, some major impacts and successes, and how his career can teach others about how to best work within Alaskan communities. In this episode, we will explore some of Rick's major career successes and the legacy he has created with his many years of service to the state of Alaska. To get a clear picture of all that Rick has accomplished, I will be talking not only to Rick, but also to a few key collaborators he has worked with over the years. I got the opportunity to travel to Nome with Rick to connect with community partners in October of 2024, which allowed me to observe the connections he still has to the region and how he has made concerted efforts to maintain his role as a trusted resource in Western Alaska. As we discussed in the last episode, Rick began his career with the National Weather Service in Alaska in 1988, as a weather observer in Nome before moving to Fairbanks in 1990 to continue his career as a general forecaster. Though he would only spend 2 years working directly with Nome, he would spend much of his career providing weather and climate services to the region.
You know, after I got the job in Fairbanks and left, I was always happy that I was able to continue forecasting out of Fairbanks for that part of the world. And once in a while, you know, we would get inquiries from the Nome media. That became more frequent as the Weather Service reduced staffing in the office in Nome. And so by late in my Weather Service career, say after 2015 or so, I was regularly talking to both the radio station and the newspaper simply because there was less Weather Service folk in Nome to talk to. At the time that they needed it.
In Nome, I got the chance to talk to Deanna Hacker, who has been a reporter for the Nome Nugget for 22 years now, about her collaborations with Rick.
We started, I think, in 2018, a feature that's called Climate Watch. And each week, Rick has contributed to the Nome Nugget newspaper and our readership on a deeper understanding of what is happening at the intersection of weather and climate, because that's two different things. And Rick helped us understand more about trends. He interprets for us data, what it means for us who live here. So because there's a really particular language to weather and climate, and Rick helped us translate that into language that we can all understand.
And what about that work is particularly valuable?
The knowledge that Rick brings is not just academic and sitting there at the, you know, basically the hotspot of climate research in Fairbanks, but also Rick knows, having lived here, what it really means for us to, you know, be hammered by certain storms. And he knows where the difference, that Teller is not like Nome, and that Nome is not like Caltech or Unalakleet, and that there's a lot of different variables to how the land influences weather events. And that knowledge is priceless because it translates to direct actionable things for us that, you know, we can be putting to use.
Talking with people in Western Alaska and with Rick, it was made clear that the thing most needed by rural communities was this local knowledge and understanding.
With going from places like Utqiagvik and Nome, where for decades there had been weather service available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to basically to know availability. There was no staffing at those sites in the early 2020s. But I think one of the things that has become clear in the provision of weather and climate services is there really is nothing, there is no substitute, there is no online alternative to local knowledge, local expertise, local availability. And, you know, we're at, weather forecasting has changed a lot in the last 40 years, and the way it's done and the way the information is presented. But having someone that can take that information, however it's derived, and put it into local and regional context remains just as important as it was 50 years ago.
While in Nome, I also got to talk with Gay Sheffield, the Sea Grant Marine Mammal Advisory Agent, about how RIC's relationship with the region has evolved over time, and how it has become even more important in the face of changing climate norms.
I think everyone's relationship with RIC has grown in the Bering Strait region. As he's seen a need for the public service, and I mean, 2017, 2018, 2019, we were on fire, and the ecosystem responded and is still responding and trying to settle down. And the weather that resulted when you jack up the ocean temperature 11 degrees Fahrenheit in some places. And when you live in the Bering Strait region, you're surrounded on three sides by water. The primary place to get your food, a myriad, a comprehensive use of the maritime ecosystem is done here. And he was returning, very familiar with the place, and he was stunned, as we all were, and he had the expertise not only of where he was, he was familiar with the subsistence activities, the importance of the water, and then to be thrust into this. So he actually he was grounded in what he was seeing as well. Like everyone else here was stunned, shocking. So I think everyone's grown with Rick Thoman.
Here, Gay is referring to record heat waves and sea ice lows that occurred in the Bering Strait in the late 2010s. 2018 would see the lowest sea ice level in the area's recorded history, with cascading effects in the marine ecosystem still ongoing. With climate shifts like these, Gay talked about how important it is to have people like Rick working in the region.
What makes him so effective is he is highly skilled in his craft. He obviously demands a lot of himself, like he is going to do these things because it matters. He cares about languages, indigenous languages, all kinds of languages, it seems. He cares about the people out here. He cares about this unique region that's hard to describe quickly. At a time when we are in distress, not just the people, but the animals are in distress. The people of this region deserve the service that everyone else doesn't even think about twice throughout the land. So there's people with lots of questions, and we know for the weather and storms approaching, everybody gets a service. You can pick up the paper, there's Rick Thoman. You can go to Facebook, there he is. And we all know that takes time.
As well as his impacts in Western Alaska, I was able to talk with Rick about what he would consider some of his career highlights overall. What would you say is one of your most important forecasts?
I have long thought that the most consequential forecasts I ever issued were about the 1999 cold snap in Alaska in January and early February. That was another cold snap. It was well advertised by the models, and we made the decision about 4 days out to start notifying entities because it was clear it was going to be a major, major cold snap and probably quite long lasting. And so as a result of those forecasts, we learned after the fact that that air-delivered fuel deliveries, principally, I think, Everett's Air Fuel, they pushed the schedule up, and they were able to get fuel ahead of schedule, I think, to every village that needed it, except one. And without that heads up, there would have been a lot more places that ran out of fuel. And so I think that was a major an important forecast that that I led on that. Getting that advance word out, and people actually took action and kept people warm through that.
I talked with Ed Plum, the Marine and Coastal Flood Program Manager for the National Weather Service in the Alaska region, about his time working with Rick. They began working together in 1996 and have continued collaborating even after Rick's retirement and transition to ACAP.
One of the things that really stands out to me is Rick is like a living encyclopedia or Google search engine for climate and weather information from across Alaska. He can remember events, the details, the time, the day. He's always been somebody I've gone to as like a climate expert that has lived. If he hasn't lived the detail, like lived through the event or witnessed it, even historical events, he is aware of and researched and remembers. And so it's hard to find anyone. I don't think there's anyone in Alaska with that wealth of knowledge and sort of photographic memory of past climate events that have happened.
And how have you seen Rick apply this skill in his career?
The thing with Rick is his ability to make the connection between weather and climate and how that impacts the environment, people, plants, ecology, sea ice, the entire spectrum that's impacted by changes in weather and climate. And especially his knowledge of how it impacts, you know, the people of Alaska, and specifically like Alaska Natives or Indigenous people. And it's not only the weather, you know, it's a cold day and it may have impact directly on them, but how that impacts, you know, subsistence and subsistence activities and cultural activities and things like that. He's got a very deep connection between the two. And another thing with Rick is just his curiosity of how the weather and climate impacts people. He's always been curious, and he's good with sharing that with us at the Weather Service to help us have a better understanding of how that's impacting people, changes in weather and climate.
Rick's work expands to the academic realm as well. I sat down with Uma Bott, professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, about how she has worked with Rick over the years. In the last 20 years, she has partnered with Rick to meet with her graduate students to advise on climate research.
Rick is one of the people that my face lights up when I run into him. And I really have enjoyed working with him. I value his expertise. And I seek him out for opinions all the time. And he's very reliable. Like, when I send him an email, he will answer.
What would you say makes him effective at helping your students?
Well, Rick has always been a very clear communicator. He's also very direct. Like, if he thinks something's not a good idea, he'll tell you. But he does it in a way that, you know, the students just loved him, and they got a lot out of it, and they were so thankful that he had the time. He's a very empathetic person, and he really cares about people. And at the root of being able to work with all kinds of people is you have to care about people. So I think that personal empathy and care makes a big difference in how one interacts with the community. I mean, that sort of makes it a lot easier. If you care to begin with, then kind of you can be intuitive and do a great job.
Having talked to many of Rick's collaborators, I also asked Rick what he thinks has helped him cultivate these relationships across the state over the years.
Listening. And by listening, I mean you know, active listening. So paying attention, not having your responses spinning in your head at the same time people are talking. Being honest about what you can and can't do is another thing. Almost everyone appreciates that. Certainly being available on people's timelines is important. As anyone that has spent any time living or working in Alaska, in rural Alaska, knows, you know, timelines are different. And if you're unhappy because a meeting was supposed to start at 2 and it's now 2:10, that's going to come out at least in your body language, and people are going to pick up on that. You just have to, okay, it's what it is. The meeting will happen when it happens. And that will make for a more productive time for everyone. So understanding that, understanding culturally what's appropriate, what's not, is a key. Certainly, being, you know, as we talked about, being available when people need something, being responsive to that is a key facet as well.
Alaska Voices is a place for communities to connect through conversation. This mini-series was created by Liz Carter, an Alaska Fellow at the Alaska Center for Climate Assessment and Policy. ACAP is housed at the University of Alaska Fairbanks International Arctic Research Center and is one of several Climate Adaptation Partnerships teams funded by the NOAA Climate Program Office. ACAP works to build healthy and thriving Alaska communities, economies, and ecosystems in a changing climate. This project was supported by the Alaska Voices team. If you're interested in more conversations or information, please visit alaskavoices.org.